What a great time of worship already this morning. What a pleasure it is to be here. I'm very thankful for the invite, and it's certainly an honor, as always, to come before the children of God. It is also great to be back in Garden Valley. It's been a while since I've been here. To be exact, it would be 2 years, 7 days ago. Last Sunday, 2 years ago, I heard about a wedding venue over here, and my son and daughter-in-law were married here in Garden Valley. And you might know the place, but it's a cabin with a bunch of small cabins on the property, and there's a pond there and so forth. And we had a great time with about 50 of us for about 3 days up here in Garden Valley, and it was just a beautiful time in the Lord. I would have known about this church, we would have attended this church on that Sunday, but I didn't know about you guys. Instead, we had a service there. My uncle came out from Oregon, and he's the one that did the wedding, and so he preached in the home there, and some very special memories for Garden Valley. Well, I come from a military background, as some of you know from the Sunday school class, and my father was 27 years in the military, and I did 24 years, and we've lived all over the world. And after I was done with the military, we went to the Philippines for 3 years and lived over there. And so having lived all over the world, I can emphatically say that we are certainly a blessed nation. I praise the Lord for the United States of America. And we are certainly blessed to be living in the Gem State. This is a very special place, Idaho is. And we're just a little south of you guys over in Eagle, Idaho, and we're very thankful for that. I think there's rarely a day that goes by that I don't just thank the Lord for Eagle, Idaho. It's a beautiful place, and I'm sure you do the same for Garden Valley. My wife and I were stationed in Mountain Home Air Force Base. I was. She was there with me, of course, and that was back in 1991 we were there. And we were there for 16 years, and we used to drive up to Eagle. We were in our 20s back then, and we'd look around and say, boy, this is so pretty. I wonder if someday we could live here. And we've been in Eagle now for about 4 years. So we're very thankful for that. Well, I enjoy expository teaching and through books of the Bible. So that always presents a bit of a dilemma when you're coming to a single service to do a single message. So you'll have to bear with me today. This is a little out of my purview. But I'm very glad when Pastor Randy asked me, and he's had some great things to say about you folks. And so has his wife, Phyllis. For those of you who know Phyllis, and so I have been looking forward to being here for the last month or so. Well, after a lot of thought and prayer, it wasn't my first pick, but I felt like the Lord would have me look at 2 Corinthians 13:5, and that is my text this morning, if you'd like to turn your Bibles there. And while you're doing that, I'm going to give you a little bit of context, and we'll go into the passage. Well, we know that the church in Corinth had a lot of problems. There's a 1 Corinthians in the Bible, too, and there's a lot of problems there. And so Paul had already written to them, and now here we have 2 Corinthians. And Paul, at this time, he's out evangelizing, but he just can't seem to get Corinth off of his mind. And he has some anxiety, I think tremendous anxiety, because of his concern for the church in Corinth. And so while ministering in Troas, his spirit is deeply touched and troubled about Corinth, and he sits down and he begins to pen out 2 Corinthians from Macedonia. Now, he's thankful for the report. He's received the report. There's been some repentance, and so that's always good. And he's thankful for the renewed obedience to the Word of God, but there's still a whole lot of work to be done. And there needs to be further reconciliation. We see that. And there needs to be further healing. And there needs to be more restoration. And he also feels that he has to defend who he is. And so this is a personal letter that we're in. And this personal letter is filled with deep emotions. I don't know if you've read much of Paul, but he's a very emotional sort of guy. And it pours out in Scripture. I love his writings. And so here we have the great Apostle Paul. And the people of Corinth are seeking proof that he's actually even from God. And Paul is basically saying, you want proof? I'm going to give you proof. Because I'm going to come to you in the power of Christ. That will be my proof. And now he exhorts himself, and that takes us to our text this morning. So let's go to the passage, 2 Corinthians 13:5. And it says this: examine yourself to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourself. Or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test? Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, thank you for this time together, and we ask you to please open our heart now to what your Spirit would say to each one of our hearts. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this is not an easy passage. And any time we hear the word examination, maybe your heart give a little flutter. You might think back in high school days or college days, and it always brings a certain amount of angst and fear and anxiety. I go to the VA in Boise to get examined, and I get home, the first words out of my wife's mouth is, "How'd it go? What did they say? What did they say to you? How's your health?" And there's just a little bit of nervousness. Very well. And we take exams in school, and we sort of are a little bit nervous until those grades are posted, and we know that we passed the test. And so you might be thinking here today, I've been a Christian for several years. Why do I need to take an exam? Or I've been a Christian for decades. Why do I need to take an exam? Well, of course, the number one reason is because the Bible tells us so. That's what the Bible says. But we don't have to stop there, because the Bible is a logical book. And it's a logical book because it's all about a logical God. And so we can actually look into these things and say, what's he talking about here? Why is this necessary? And what's happening? Well, our logical God knows that the tendency of humans, all of us, is to become a little bit complacent. Okay? And there's a couple of little quotes in the bottom of your paper, your handout, that A.W. Tozer, the CMA pastor many years ago, used to say this: complacency is a deadly foe of all spiritual growth. Acute desire must be present, or there will be no manifestation of Christ to his people. That's an attention getter. We want to sense the presence of the Lord, and so there has to be that acute desire there. John Stott said it this way: we must allow the Word of God to confront us, to disturb us, to disturb our security, to undermine our complacency, and to overthrow our patterns of thought and behavior. Strong words from John Stott. And so the purpose this morning is not to cast doubt on anyone's salvation. That's not the purpose here. But it is the purpose to take a good, healthy step back and examine your spiritual life through this examination. Now, we're going to talk a little bit about easy believism. And if you're not familiar with that term, easy believism is something very common throughout the United States and abroad. And it's what the Apostle Paul is dealing with here in Corinth. And we'll talk a little bit more in a little bit. He was dealing with false apostles, though. And one of the things I want to make a distinction here, I'm not saying that genuine believers can lose their salvation. We know better than that, because the Bible is very clear about that. Jesus said, "All that the Father gives me will come to me." Amen. "And the one who comes to me, I will certainly not cast out." He went on to say in John 6, "This is the will he sent me, of him who sent me, that all that he has given me, I lose nothing, but raise it up on the last day." And then in John 10:28, he says, "And I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." Praise God for that promise. And so we know that's not possible. And so it's not a case of losing your salvation. It's a question of examining yourself and seeing if you're in the faith. Now, once again, examinations can be a little terrifying, but it doesn't have to be. This morning, I want it to be an encouragement. I don't want you to think of examinations as terrifying, but as an encouragement. Because after you're done, if you're saved, you will certainly know that you are saved. Praise God as you go home and maybe do that self-examination. Or you might even discover by God's grace that you're not saved. And even for that, that's a great a benefit that we have. Is that person can go before the Lord and repent. Not through a magical formula of words, but through godly sorrow which worketh repentance. Well, And I find it odd that we spend so much time examining so many different things except our faith. Except our faith. We go to see the doctor for annual checkups. If you're a vet, it's semi-annual. We go and see the doctor. He tells us how we're doing. And then he gives us some pointers, men and women, how to perform some little self-examinations throughout the year. And we go off from the doctor. And then we periodically examine our vehicles. This is a bit of a trek for me to come up to Garden Valley. And so, of course, yesterday I was out there and checking my oil, checking the tire pressure, making sure, especially with the weather doing what it's doing, making sure everything's okay. And so we examine that. Successful corporations, they, of course, evaluate their employees and their processes, and they want to identify their strengths and weaknesses. They want to make sure that the employee can improve. They want more productivity. They want more profit. And so these different examinations. And for you that have been in the military, for those of you, you know that there's lots of examinations in the military. We have job performance examinations and military culture examinations and history exams and cyber exams and self-aid and buddy care and CPR and chemical warfare and rules of conduct and all the list goes on and on and on. Well, all these examinations are designed to help us become more proficient in the military. How odd it is that we so often shy away from self-examination when it comes to spiritual things. Well, when Larry called me, I was down in Texas, and we were at my nephew's Air Force Basic Military Training graduation in San Antonio, Texas, at Lackland Air Force Base. And he had went down there 2 months prior, and his first day was yelled at by all the technical instructors. Those of you who have been there know how it is. I was there 32 years before that day. And what I found so interesting was, on that same base, just 2 miles down the road, my brother-in-law was there, and it was his graduation day, too. He was an NCO that had been in for 10 years, but he had to go through the NCO Academy. And so there he was down the